This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
888-957-9570 is the number. We'll take your calls throughout the 5 o'clock hour. Let's hear a little bit about what Mike Dunleavy had to say earlier today. Bobby Marks also had some interesting stuff. The foremost front office NBA expert out there for my money, and he joined us earlier in the 3 o'clock hour. We'll let you hear some of what he had to say as well. Here are some of the headliners from Mike Dunleavy. This certainly got some people's attention. How much will the financials come into play with regard to what you do this offseason?
The financials will always come into it. It's part of the puzzle. I wouldn't say we're at a point now where we're saying we got to be out of the tax or we got to be under a certain apron or anything like that. We're going to look at everything. I think if you've got a team that you feel can contend for a championship, you do what it takes financially. So we'll look at everything. We'll balance it out. And it's hard to say right now in terms of what it's going to look like and all that, because this is April. This stuff goes into June and July. But you know how Joe is with his willingness to spend and compete, that I don't think there'll be any restrictions, but we'll also be prudent. I mean, to put a team out there that can't make the playoffs, like we spent $400 million this year, I wouldn't recommend that. So we'll figure it out, but I don't think we have anything set in stone in terms of parameters we got to live by.
You know what, like the picture that pops into my head, I have no idea if this actually happened or not, but when you hear on back-to-back days, Steve Kerr and Mike Dunleavy both find a microphone and go, doesn't make any sense to spend $400 million for a team that misses the playoffs. It feels like Joe Lacob was in a boardroom somewhere and threw something off of a wall and yelled at the entire staff, I ain't paying $400 million to miss the playoffs. Doesn't it feel like that? It feels to me like that happened, because these guys immediately took it out to the public and like, yeah, so we're not going to do that anymore.
It doesn't make sense to spend $400 million and not make the playoffs.
Well.
Right. And maybe Joe said those exact words. It doesn't make sense to spend $400 million and not make the playoffs.
But it doesn't. It doesn't.
And throw one of those old telephones off the wall, rip it out of the socket and throw it into the wall.
I mean, Joe is not, like you've heard people say it, he's not an easy man to work for. Joe is Joe.
And watch him in the game in Sacramento. And Grandy wanted to see Joe Lacob at that game. And there were a couple camera shots. He did not look very happy. He did not look pleased with the proceedings.
Yeah, how could he?
Yeah.
$400 million. You don't even make the playoffs. Like, I get the intricacies of how this went down. 10 teams with 46 wins or more. Very, very odd. And so we understand that. And the Draymond suspension and all the things that go into whatever the Warriors' record is. However, there's another way to say it that I just can't get over. Knowing what we know about the NBA, where 16 teams make the playoffs, $400 million, four Hall of Famers, and they didn't even make the playoffs.
Right.
Eesh, that's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, it's
crazy.
It's beyond crazy. And, you know, that's a commitment from Joe Lacob that we've all grown to accept and appreciate, but we shouldn't grow to accept it, or expect it rather, because it's not fair to think that that's the way he's going to go about business each and every year. So he rolls the dice and he goes way over the tax, $400 million in salary and penalty, and you are a 10 seed. So you're going to wake up and just do that again? I don't think so.
No, definitely not. Definitely not. And that's why I think that you're starting to see the tears of what could happen here. I definitely think that, and you've heard Mike Dunleavy mention this, Joe is Joe. So Joe will be willing to do whatever if it means a potential winner. So if that big name is available and the Warriors can get in the conversation, yes, I remain optimistic, and I think that that is still in play. But if short of that, sure, they want Klay back, but that is going to mean under the apron. Under the apron, and what could also trickle down is just a completely different focus from the team in terms of what they're prioritizing. I could see a Warrior team that comes back next year where they openly speak about, look, we're going to start prioritizing our younger players a little bit more. Like, I think that you could hear a different speech pattern from the Warriors next year. It's never been okay in Steph Curry's career once he became who he is. It's never been okay to talk about anything except for championship aspirations. You could see the Warriors come back next year and have a very different sound to their press conferences.
Right, and I think that's out of necessity. And these players, they earned their minutes this year, but they also got their minutes out of necessity. Draymond Green missed a couple of dozen games, and so you had to play somebody. And so Kuminga got more minutes than maybe he otherwise would have. And TJD stepped in because Kevon Looney became ineffective, and Dario Saric became unplayable. Almost overnight, he stopped shooting, he stopped scoring, so you need a big, and so TJD, you get minutes, and Pods earned his minutes in camp. He came in with a swagger and a confidence, and he was able to go out there and play more than anybody would have thought. Moses Moody's the one guy who probably didn't get the minutes that he would have earned or did earn, and that becomes an interesting question into the offseason.
Well, I do think the Moody thing is interesting, and I do think this, one of two things is going to happen. He's either going to finally get the opportunity that a lot of people have been wanting him to get next year, or he's not going to be on the team at all.
Right.
I do not foresee a possibility of Moody being on the team and being yanked in and out of the lineup again, because they're either going to be a team that prioritizes their younger players, or they're going to be a team that traded Moses Moody, because I do think that the league likes him. The league likes him. He is an asset. So that is someone who very well could be attached to Andrew Wiggins in a deal.
Yeah, and you look at this year, he played in 66 games, and that was only because he had a handful of DNPs. He averaged 8 a night. He's a guy who can rebound and defend a little bit, shoot the 3 a little bit. He's a solid rotational player for anybody, and he's super affordable. Next year, I think he's making $5 and change million, and after, well, he's actually eligible for an extension now.
Extension eligible, but
he's not getting what Kuminga's going to get.
It's a qualifying offer kind of a situation. Here's what Dunleavy said about Moody.
Yeah, I mean, I think the good and bad of the situation with Moses is, first, you know, he's improved. He's gotten a lot better. And on top of it, I think any issues with him playing, frankly, as a result of our depth, which is also a good thing. But in the end, you're right. He hasn't probably played as much as we'd like, and there hasn't been a clear enough pass. So that'll be something we'll look at. I think it's really important coming into year four for him that there is reasonable playing time available for him where he can impact our team and be out there and continue to improve. And I think that's a fair thing.
Yep. Reasonable playing time for him on the Warriors or for someone else.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I foresee next year for him.
And I think, and he addressed this today, Mike Dunleavy, talking about how there were maybe too many players to have the minutes go around, but the other risk of that is, okay, so now you get just a 9-man rotation that you're fully committed to and you don't have much else on your roster. If you get somebody hurt, you're kind of screwed.
Yeah.
So this year you had a roster where you had really 12 guys who you were willing to and open to playing. And then sometimes you had guys hurt, but even when you had everybody healthy, there was an issue because there weren't enough minutes to go around, and Moses too often was on the outside of that.
The one other question that I know people wanted to get to, Dunleavy, right away, is the Klay Thompson question. Here's what Mike said on that one.
No, I think it's a mutual feeling. I mean, the guy's been here a long time. He means so much to the organization. You know, we really, really value him. And so there's nothing that would make me think that he wants to go somewhere else or we don't want him back. And for that reason, I'm hopeful we can make it happen. But, you know, it's a deal. Both sides got to be good with it. And we'll work through that. But I think, you know, hopeful and optimistic I am about it.
Mm, hopeful, optimistic. It's a deal. Both sides have to be good with it.
Right.
He added this, too. This is partially about Clay. How realistic is it to talk championship still around the big three?
Well, considering they won four before, I would say it's well within the realm of reasonability. But we got to, you know, certainly we want Clay back first and foremost. I expressed that to him yesterday. I think our players have expressed that, our coaches, front office, ownership. Look, everybody wants Clay back. He's still a really good player. And I think we have enough good players in our system. We have enough assets to acquire good players. And we have the ability to keep getting better. So given that, as long as those guys are still really good, like, yeah, we can, I think we can contend and compete, but we just unequivocally have to improve.
There it is. That's some of the key stuff. And we've got more that we'll throw in throughout the hour. Mike Dunleavy with his exit interview. And he might be, quite frankly, the most important one of them all. It's fun to hear what Draymond has to say. Clay can take veiled shots at slates. And Steve Kerr can come on with us and be really interesting, which I think he was. And Mike Dunleavy's not doing this by himself, but we are quickly, and I think we're already there, our brains are on transactions.
Right.
Our brains are on transactions, and Mike Dunleavy's the transaction guy.
But you can't really get into the transaction portion of the show for a long time. But, you know, all of us, now that the season's over, you start to think about what's next and how do you make this thing better. And Klay Thompson is at the top of the list, because if you want to bring Klay back, there's a number that works for the team that would allow them to maybe get below the tax, which would also let you have your mid-level exception available again, which I believe is $12.9 million roughly. So if that's available, if Chris Paul goes, and Clay, and I'm borrowing from somebody on Twitter, at Fake Logic, who broke all this down.
That's where I get all my news, too.
Well, it's an
at Fake Logic.
It's a great chart with colorful Excel spreadsheet boxes. And so I'm looking at it, and he says, he or she, they say, there's a relatively, quote-unquote, easy path to get the Warriors out of the tax and utilize the mid-level.
Okay.
And all it will take is, well, Chris Paul goes,
getting rid of all their players.
Klay signs for $19 million.
Oh, that's not relatively easy at all.
Well, that's the quote-unquote relatively. Re-sign Klay to $19 million or less.
End of story. Sorry. He's not going to do that.
And then you'd have GP2 opt out, and he signs back in for 3 and 16, something that I threw out as that's an actual possibility. Instead of him opting in for 9...
Okay.
He opts out, and he signs for 3 and 16.
All right, I'll buy that as
possible.
That
way you stretch the money.
Yeah.
So instead of 9 and bye-bye, he gets 16, and he gets to stay, and that would get you below the tax. That would allow you to use the mid-level,
okay,
which is 12.9 roughly.
Two of those, one of those things is completely, obviously, under your control. Another one is...
Not really, what, the GP2?
No, the Chris Paul.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, one of them okay, is totally under your control. One of them is potentially viable, and one of them is a
super long shot.
A space cadet walking into this room within the next 3 seconds.
I think it's more likely than that, but it's highly unlikely.
Klay Thompson's going to say no to $24 million at the beginning of the year, and that prideful ego is going to play 77 games and average 18 points a game and tell the world, in his exit interview, how freaking impressive that is that that happened. And he's going to come back after that and take $5 million per year less when Bobby Marks is telling you that the open market would offer him between 25 and 30. I find that to be absolutely unbelievable.
It's a long shot. I give it to you.
I think it's a longer shot than that.
It's a pretty long shot.
I think
yes.
It's not happening.
Well, and it comes down to whether or not Clay would want to be here. I'm not saying that this is the route the Warriors would take. I'm just borrowing from at Fake Logic.
Yeah, you could just, if you want to do it that way, just let him walk. That'll get you underneath.
For sure. But then you're going to have to replace him with yeah, whom? And if you want to talk about the free agents that are out there and you want to find a free agent who will come here for $19 million, you're not talking about a player as good as Klay Thompson. That's for sure.
I don't know.
You're just not. And I looked at the free agent tracker and, you know, the names that are out there, You know, a guy who's only making 18, a guy who you'd love to have.
Who, Lauri Markkanen?
Former Warrior.
Former Warrior's making 18, who could shoot?
Oh, yeah, he's got a great lefty stroke.
A great lefty stroke?
Yeah.
Troy Murphy.
D'Angelo Russell.
Oh, God.
Had to give you a free dollar.
Don't you dare. Don't you dare.
Thank you. Markelle Fultz is out there for that price point.
I don't know what happened to D'Angelo. He became my new Chris Paul this year.
You really don't like
him. I can't even watch him.
Yeah.
Just like, oh, God.
Doug McDermott making 13.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's no player out there who you could get for $19 million who would be as good as Klay Thompson.
Right, but that's, like, of course, you're not wrong. But there are also circumstances that go with that statement. I mean, you're factoring in age.
Yeah.
You're factoring in role. You know what I mean? Like, that's that's the difficulty with Klay Thompson is the role. How much is on his shoulders? How much is on all of their shoulders? I don't even mean that as anything disrespectful to them because, first of all, age is not disrespectful. It's just life. It's fact. But secondly, I think this is what they need. If these three guys still have championship aspirations, they should be knocking down Joe Lacob's door to say we need to do less, not more, not I want to average my numbers and all that. That stuff's over, dude. Yeah. You guys have all made your $1 billion.
But you can't, I mean, you can't get a player to come in and be better than you so that you can do less. You just don't have that room.
No, you need more than one player.
Yeah.
It needs to be Clay and, not Clay or. Let's go to Jose in Mountain View on Willard and Dibbs. Hi, Jose. What are you doing?
I'm just driving. You know how that goes, but
yeah.
Yeah, I know. Anyways, but hey, thanks for taking my call. Look,
sure.
I'm ready. Like you said before, like, it was pointed out, I don't think Clay's coming back because the way he sounded in the exit interview, he's like, hey, I've done a lot. I've played a lot. I'm doing well. And what I said about, you know, nixing that offer that you first offered me, if you're coming anywhere near that again, I'm out of here. I see him as a New York Knick, but here's the thing. If he walks and we save money and Chris Paul takes off, then that's your perfect excuse to be able to deal Draymond. And then you can start over from scratch. There's no possibility of bringing in pieces to help the team win a championship like they did with Durant. There's just no way. It doesn't work out that way. They're financially strapped. So let's accept it and move on because $400 million, if I'm the owner, that really doesn't make any sense, and that's a bad investment.
Right, but what you're laying out, Jose, you got to understand, like, I totally get your emotional sentiment, but what you're laying out, let's actually go there for a second and see how that feels for all of the key players and pieces within the Warrior organization. You mentioned the owner. If I'm the owner, I don't want to spend $400 million on that. You're right. Fine. How about $300 million and a half-empty arena? Now how are we doing? See, and that's the issue.
Well, like, that's a no-win situation either way, though. That's the thing, right?
Well,
you're not going to do well either way.
No, but no, I don't think it's a thing for Joe. He is very clearly and publicly stated that he doesn't want to do that. We are not bottoming out, ever. That now, I don't know if he can do it, but that's his goal. So I understand where you're coming from. But there are a few people who hate your idea. One of them is Joe Lacob, and another one is Steph Curry. He hates your idea of like, let Clay walk, trade Draymond, let's get rid of Chris Paul, and let's just have a bunch of 21-year-olds running around with Steph Curry. You know what I mean? Like, I get where you're coming from, but those key pieces within the organization do not like that idea. It's not a viable entertainment option. And I do think that they, again, I'll remind people, 46-36 is not Portland. You're not Utah. You're not Detroit. And I do think a lot of Warrior fans are looking at this right now. It's like, well, you had two options. You could stink or you could stink. And the Warriors are like, we don't stink. I understand it's not good enough. It's got to be better. But what they were this year was something well north of a joke. And that matters.
Yes.
That matters in the conversation of what to do next.
Especially when you're doing entertainment. And that's what this is at the very essence of it. And that's why I do think that they're going to try to bring back Klay because the box office of having Steph, Klay, and Dre, heck, what did we see today on that day where it was 11-30-23 and all three of their numbers? They did a whole thing for, for Klay and Steph and Draymond and their numbers that happened to fall on the same date as their numbers. And so there's box office value to bringing him back beyond the winning and losing. I think that you are right in the middle between we stink and we're a championship contender. I think you're equidistant from the two different ends of the spectrum.
Mm, maybe, maybe.
You might be further from stinking because there's some teams that are really, really bad.
Like they don't stink. They're just, but yeah, I'll buy what you're saying.
But I look at how they were against the really good teams and they weren't good. And it's for a reason. It's not a small sample. And the good teams in your conference, they cuffed you around for a reason. They're younger than you, faster than you, deeper than you, and they're better than you.
Mike Dunleavy was asked how close he thinks they are to the top teams in the West. You want to hear how he answered
it? I would love to hear that, Mark Randy.
Here he is.
For me, we're closer to the top than we are the bottom, even though we finished 10th in the standings. That's kind of the way I see it. But, you know, that look, that can change. Next year will be tough. The teams that didn't make the playoffs this year, you're looking on the outside in with Houston, Memphis, San Antonio. I don't see a way for those teams to get worse. They're only going to get better. So this is a tough conference, and this is why we got to improve. We got to get a lot better, too.
Mm. I agree with everything he's saying. You know what I mean? Like, I think just even if you're talking about conceptually or emotionally, based on what you're watching, yeah, they're closer to the top than the bottom. When the way you phrased it, are they closer to a championship versus stinking? Yeah, they're not close to a championship, so maybe that's some sort of equidistant thing.
Yeah.
But look, this is the Warriors' philosophy, and I buy in. You don't have to, and I understand if you don't. But this is the Warriors' philosophy is we're not just going to give up, start over, and accept a period of time of total junk. We are not going to do that. We are going to try at every single turn, especially if for no other reason to respect number 30. We are doing that, period. All other opinions, please leave the house.
Parentheses, for now.
Yes, correct.
For now.
But now is where we are.
Now, that's where our feet are. We're keeping our feet in now.
Spaceballs.
Completely.
We are here now.
And in 2 years, and it's interesting the thought about Steph getting a contract extension. It could happen this offseason. It may happen next offseason. It may not happen at all. If in 2 years Steph decides he doesn't want to play for the Warriors anymore, maybe he doesn't want to play basketball anymore. Maybe he wants to go out and be a volleyball dad because apparently that's how he's spending his time this April because he's not playing basketball. Yeah. So if he gets to that point, then we'll have a discussion with Joe Lacob about how much time he wants to spend on the bottom because you'll be headed that way. The Spurs, always a great example. This is the fifth consecutive year that they won fewer than 34 games, five straight years, not in the playoffs.
I'm out.
They went, they had to go that direction.
They had to.
Ginobili, Parker, Duncan, retired. Kawhi took his talents to Canada after a 71-game absence, after a self-inflicted sabbatical. And
opinion. Anyway, go ahead.
My opinion. Yeah, he shut it down. Neuropathy. Yeah. It's a real thing.
Well, so is people not knowing what's going on in other people's bodies. But
exactly.
Go ahead.
So he chose to not play. And so San Antonio made their choice, which was we're going to have to tank it up for a while and try to bounce back. And they're 5 years into it, and they're not back.
No, but they've got Wembanyama. And I think that most people would make that sort of a trade or at least feel like that's headed in a positive direction. But yes, I sit here today surprised at 46-36 how many of you are ready to give up. That surprises me. I think the myopic Warrior fan is like, big three, we could still do it, guys. That's myopic. I'm not myopic. I want them to go into the offseason and try to get better. It is surprising to me how many people we have talked to today who are like, yeah, so let's just blow off the next 5 years and see what happens. Like, that feels like an emotional response to me. I get the frustration and the anger at what has taken place, and it's intricate. There's a number of reasons for it. Draymond's attitude, or just time. You know, we've all been together now for a long time watching the same characters, and it does. It wears on you a little bit. So I understand that. But at 46 and 36, with two more years on the contract of Steph Curry, I'm very surprised how many of you are like, look, that's a wrap. Let's leave. Let's go home and find people who aren't even driving yet to be on this team here in a couple of years. Like, what? Is that where some of you are? You're getting way ahead of yourselves.
Right.
It's also April 18th. Like, hang out for a second. Let's see who becomes available, and let's see what the Warriors can do. If it doesn't work out in the offseason, you've always got the option to be just like, ah, blow it up. Let's play a bunch of 21-year-olds. You don't need to plan to do that. You can show up at training camp and just be like, Moody, you're our leading scorer. Go.
You're not doing that, though, and that's the whole idea of blowing it up can't happen when you've got Steph with two more years and Draymond, whatever Klay's status will be, notwithstanding. That's not how you go about this. And we've talked about the idea some people want to trade Steph Curry. You can't get enough back at this point, especially until you get past June 30th. So you're not getting $55 million worth of players back. So
I don't know.
You're going to get to a point when Steph is gone, Draymond's gone, and all these cats are gone. And maybe at that point, you go full or partial San Antonio. And if you look at their team this year, the ages of the players who they played, 23, 20, 20, 24, 24, 26, and 20.
And go ahead with the number of wins.
20.
Fits right in.
Right in there.
Fits right
22.
In.
22. Apologies, but yeah.
What's up, Grandy?
Oh, nothing.
Oh, well, you pulled the microphone to your face.
I was going to recommend a caller to go to.
Oh.
Whenever you wanted to go to a call now.
I was gonna go to, well, you tell me. Just whisper a number so we don't offend anybody.
Number two.
Okay, that's where I was going to go.
Number two.
Oh, we matched. Let's
two marks.
Let's go to RC and
one
Napa.
Show.
Hey, RC, what are you doing?
Willie and the newly minted Dan Dibley.
Yeah.
Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you for making it.
I love the Warriors, but nothing compares to the greatness of the National Football League. Case in point, these guys make a fraction of the money, but when they're sniffing the Super Bowl, they reduce their salary, defer their salary, delay their salary. All sorts of things happen for their opportunity to get into the Super Bowl. When you look at the Warriors, does the NBA prevent people from changing their salary?
Yes.
Because?
Yes.
Okay. That was all I needed to know.
Yeah. So you're dealing with, RC, and you'll hear this whenever you talk about baseball or basketball contracts, they are fully guaranteed. Football contracts are not. So they are movable. They can evolve a little bit. And do know that those guys aren't, like, I get that they're, you know, giving up having the cash in hand and therefore the interest and whatever you can do with it. But the football players are not, like, giving, they're not taking a cut. They're just restructuring the money.
I get it, but and I understand the fully guarantee, but is there something that says if Steph Curry doesn't want to make $61 or $58 million and he says, look, I don't want that deal anymore, I would think it would be not constitutional to deny somebody the right to reduce their salary. And where I was going with it, and again, I think you're probably got the answer already, is Steph and these people say they want to win, and I know they're super competitive, but if they did, I would come back at much lower salaries and sign some of these top-end free agents and then look at the NBA and say, you know, I told you we wanted to win. Steph's already changed basketball. He might as well change what people are being paid by being magnanimous and saying, I don't need this type of money because I'm already worth hundreds of millions.
So, RC,
thanks, RC. He's not allowed to do that.
Not only is he not allowed to do that, but what RC is saying, like, he could Tom Brady it. In other words, is when this contract is up, or let's pretend it was up right now, does Steph have the ability to be like, just sign me for 2 years and $30 million? Yes, he absolutely has that ability. Here are a number of the reasons why he would not. do that, and where you're dabbling a little bit into what becomes a very sensitive subject, not just for players, but quite frankly, all employees all over the place. A, you've got a players' union, and if the greatest players in the game start taking half of what they're worth, then owners immediately have the ability to do that to all the players and start asking for everybody to take half of what they're worth. So there is tremendous pressure from the players' union to not do something like that. And secondarily, anytime you would suggest that, if Steph were sitting right here and you suggested that to him, he would absolutely rightfully look back at you and say, why should I do that instead of my billionaire owner?
Yeah.
Because you can go into the luxury tax. Yes, you can. Billionaire. What did Joe Lacob pay for the Warriors?
He paid, I think, $450 million.
And it's worth now?
Maybe less than that.
What's it worth now?
$451 million, Mark.
And what's it worth now?
$6
billion. Keep going.
$7
billion. Number one valued team in sports, I think, right? Didn't the Forbes thing just come out? It is every bit of $6 or $7 billion.
He paid about $450 for it.
There you go.
And he's almost 20X.
So, like, RC, you're not wrong. However, I would argue that every employee has every right to be like, why me? Why do I have to be the one? I'm out here sweating, and you're going to put it on me?
Yeah.
To open up the salary for everybody else on the team? Why don't you pay for it, billionaire?
Forbes back in September, the Dallas Cowboys, most valuable, Yankees, second most valuable, Warriors, third most valuable.
But most valuable NBA.
Correct.
And what's the number?
$7
billion.
$7 billion.
As I thought, yeah.
$7 billion. So just in the time since he's purchased this thing, it has gone up $6.5 billion.
Correct, yeah.
And you want Curry to take $20 million less. He's absolutely right to be like, no,
he doesn't have to. You would never ask him to do that.
Of course not.
You would hope that maybe he would do that on his own. And that's what I said to Bobby Marks, and he laughed at me about LeBron James. You know, might LeBron think about, you know, taking less and taking the vet min? And but it's laughable, and we can all make judgments based on how much money Steph has and what he's made, et cetera, et cetera. But he is a premier asset in this sport, and so why not make premier money? Now, to RC's question, GP2, who has an option for $9.1 million this upcoming year, he can agree to rip that up in lieu of a new contract,
yes.
But that new contract would also be guaranteed money and ironclad.
Yeah.
Until the final year, which could be a player option and can be maneuvered.
Yeah, like I'd be much quicker to say this in response. I don't think this is offensive at all that the Warriors openly talk about how expensive this roster is. It's not offensive. They've been amazing. They have spent every dollar that they could or should spend. But please do not allow all of these comments, such as this from Mike Dunleavy, when he talks about the financials. Listen to this again.
The financials will always come into it. It's part of the puzzle. I wouldn't say we're at a point now where we're saying we got to be out of the tax or we got to be under a certain apron or anything like that. We're going to look at everything. I think if you've got a team that you feel can contend for a championship, you do what it takes financially. So we'll look at everything. We'll balance it out. And it's hard to say right now in terms of what it's going to look like and all that, because this is April. This stuff goes into June and July, but you know how Joe is with his willingness to spend and compete, that I don't think there'll be any restrictions, but we'll also be prudent. I mean, to put a team out there that can't make the playoffs, like we spent $400 million this year, I wouldn't recommend that. So we'll figure it out, but I don't think we have anything set in stone in terms of parameters we got to live by.
No, you did not spend $400 million this year. Because how much did you make? You didn't spend $400 million.
Well, you spent
year.
It. It's not right. What your total cost was.
Right. You spent it.
You didn't make as much money as you normally do because you had no playoff games.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure.
Are you sure?
Well, I don't have their books in front of me, Mark.
Well, that's the point. The point is there's revenue, A, that is attached to this. And secondly, I'd look at it like, and there's probably plenty of you listening where this is the case. Do any of you own rental property? There are probably plenty of you who, whatever you pay for owning that house on a monthly basis, let's say you have to pay $4,000 a month on your payment for owning that house, and then you rent it out for $4,000 a month, and you are basically operating at a net even, you make no money during that 12 months. Why is that still a smart investment? Because you hold on to that sucker for 20 years and make $0, and the cost of that real estate went from $1 million to $7 million. And that's exactly what's happening with the Warriors. I don't know what their intake revenue is for games played on an annual basis. They love to tell you that they, oh, we're operating at a loss. We spent $400 million and we only took in $350 million. Okay, so you lost $50 million on that proposition. And your team went up $6.5 billion in the last decade plus. So please don't take, I'm not saying that they're saying anything wrong, but don't take it to play a violin and act like the Warriors are doing charity work for everybody.
No violins.
They're doing fine.
Yeah, but it's just not prudent business to continue to shell out that much capital for a product that is not measuring up.
It isn't this year, but I'd argue the fact that they've spent that investment in years past and have achieved what they've achieved is the reason that their franchise is worth $7 billion instead of $4 billion. So,
right, like, but do you want to keep shoveling good money after bad? That becomes the calculus when you did it this year because you thought maybe you had a chance to do something special and you didn't. Does that mean you shovel another $400 after it when it's going to be more good money after bad because your team is probably still not good enough to win a championship? So you go out and spend another $400 million based on a dream and a premise? Or do you become a little bit more prudent with your money?
Yeah. No, I get it. I get it. I just don't want anybody feeling bad for the Warriors because, oh, these poor things spent $400 million. They're fine. Yeah. They're fine.
They're going to make it. Well, again, Chase Center is going to continue to be open. The lights will remain on.
The premise was RC's call that maybe Steph should take less money. And I would argue, no, Joe should keep spending more money. Just for me. That's what I would argue is the first. If you really want everybody to afford everything, that's the first place I would look. Yes, Joe, just keep spending. Because you're the one who has the most. And you're the boss. Larry in Los Angeles. Hey, Larry, thanks for calling. You're on with Willard and Dibs.
Yeah, thank you. I just wanted to kind of repeat what I feel by listening to you guys and every other podcast for the last 2 months. And what I got out of it, there's only four people that the Warriors want to keep. They want to keep the top three, big three, and Trace Jackson Davis. Everyone else, they could get rid of tomorrow, and they don't care. But what they want to do at that July, they can take the hit, but one benchmark player like Braun or Paul George, someone, if they're available, they want to get it. And the last thing I want to say is I saw a YouTube video of the 2014-15.
This phone's not working, man. For us, and unfortunately, neither is your point. I don't know what podcast that you're listening to, but for you to say that they want to keep Trace Jackson Davis over Jonathan Kuminga, you got to turn that podcast off now, man. Wherever you find your podcast, stop listening to that one. Because that like,
Podcasky.
That's the only one we haven't heard.
Yeah, thank you.
Pretty good.
I just trying to break it up, but.
I'll
take a two for that.
I don't know how much of a, I don't know how much of a response that even calls for.
Let's keep it moving. Let's get one more in before we get to the
Let's go to Super D.
I feel good about Podcasky. I liked it. Felt good coming out.
Soda Podcasky. let's go to Super D in the city. Hey, Super D, what are you doing?
Hey, what up? I mean, I'm over here. Butt hurts from the L's, man.
But, yep.
Hey, there's a lot good. What's going on with the Warriors right now? There's a lot bad. So, you know, and everybody calling in, there's a lot of right, and people are right about a lot of things. And the first thing that's wrong with the Golden State Warriors is the roster. You have to look back at what made this dynasty special. They drafted Steph Curry. They drafted Draymond Green. They drafted Klay Thompson. And then they traded Monte Ellis for Andrew Bogut, which was the biggest trade they could have ever done. Draymond is no longer left on the island to play dirty and guard the league's biggest, best talent. We need a center. We need a center with a high IQ who can set screens, picks, and pass, and can play dirty and get in the other guy under the big guy skin, the trees in the league, get under their skin to get them ejected. Draymond can't be out there. Second of all, the roster's weak. We got a weak bench. We have Sean Livingston, Andrew Iguodala coming off the bench, Leandro Barbosa. Kevin Durant came here to take a pay cut to win a championship. Free agents, stars don't want to come to Golden State and win championships anymore. That was an intricate part of the recipe of the dynasty that we had. The big three, Steph, Clay, and Draymond, they should go out and start fishing for free agents to take pay cuts and come here to win championships.
Yeah, but Super D, it's just like, I love what you're saying, except for the whole part about it's just not realistic. Like, you get David West on a veteran minimum because he knew that team was going to be in the finals. Steph, Clay, and Dre can't go out and make that phone call anymore. Hey, come join us. We might move from the 10 seed up to the 8. Like, nobody's going to do that. Like, veteran minimum is, I'm on the way out the door. I got one more year, maybe two. I want a shot at a ring. If that's you, you're like, it's unfortunate. You're not coming to Golden State. Those days have gone. This day's almost gone for us, but not yet. Okay, so if you're on hold, stay right there. We got more time for your calls heading for 6 o'clock in the best of the game with Grandy right now, Willard and Dibs.
Hit that S again!
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
How do I say goodbye to what we had?
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
I mean, sing it, y'all.
Oh, 4-10 in the 9-10 playing game.
You went falsetto a little early.
Sorry,
there.
Sorry, I did. Yeah.
But it is. It's so hard.
Bring it home, Mark.
Say goodbye.
Oh, boy.
To yesterday.
And the big three. Look at you.
Yeah, listen. This song was bouncing around in my head as I listened to Mike Dunleavy earlier today. I don't know that this is the way that it's going to go, but that song is perfect for what we're talking about, which is thank you contracts. And then Mike Dunleavy saying that there's never a wrong time to make the right decision. And it's, you know, highly likely that Draymond will be back, but I could be wrong. I mean, you put all of this into a bucket, if you understand even a little bit, and that's all I'd say about us, a little bit about the financial structure of what's in play and what the Warriors can do, that's what they're dealing with. That's what you're dealing with. You got to figure out the right thing to do, the right time to do it, and the emotional fallout from it. And it is very, very hard. More so than at any other time in the history of this organization, to say goodbye to yesterday. But we've known for a while that that day is coming, and you never really know when you're here. So the only thing we can say right now is we might be here.
Yeah, it's a maybe, and it depends on a number of factors. And, you know, part of it, I think, is the Steph Curry factor as well, because if he... if he really wants to play with Clay and he really wants Draymond to still be around, I can't imagine the organization doesn't do everything they can to make sure that that is something that happens, because Steph is the Warrior culture and he's here for two more years, and you don't want to see him get through next year and or the year after and decide, I didn't like the way they did Clay. They did Clay kind of dirty. And man, they traded Draymond, even though I wanted to play with Draymond. And so Steph gets to the end of his two-year contract that's remaining, and he decides, you know what? I'm going to go somewhere else too. That's the last thing you want.
Absolutely.
You don't want to piss off the chef.
No. And I don't think they will. And that's the point. That's why I'm all in on just like, sorry, Yoda, there is a try. Like, try to do well next year. Try to be good. Try to make a trade. Try. Don't give up. Don't do this whole, like, I'm mad because they got embarrassed in Sacramento, and so blow it up, make everybody go away, punish them, whatever. Start calling people cooked and old and just why? Like, no, they were not a horrible basketball team. You got to see if you can get back on the horse. Yes, change is needed. Absolutely. But what are those changes? Not just emotional house cleaning. You got to be smarter about that. And there is a way potentially to do this.
Right. You have to be smart, but you also have to be somewhat frugal, I think, unless Joe Lacob says, the heck with it. Let's bring everybody back and let's just spend and let's get crazy in the second apron.
That's not
and I don't
happen.
Think he's going to do that. So there's a certain amount of frugality that's going to be in play, and there's a number I'm sure that they are looking at for Clay that is their ceiling, and if Clay can get more elsewhere and he wants to get more elsewhere, then that might be the way that this all comes apart.
Let's go to Bob and Marin. We got a few minutes left to hang out with our peeps. Hey, Bob, what's going on?
Hey, guys. Thanks for letting me be on the air with you guys. I just wanted to say just one observation. I think the guys, they're not old, but they are older. And I always make this point on this radio station every single time I have a conversation with anybody about dynasties. I think once the dynasty loses their ace, or the ace is on the older side, you need to find another ace. I mean, it happened with Jordan. It happened with Tim Duncan. It happened with Kobe. And now it's the same case with Steph Curry. And we don't have an ace. The Warriors don't have an ace. I think The Lakers were lucky on the second time around. Kobe was such a great talent that he was able to do what he did with Pau Gasol. And also, the Spurs were lucky with having Kawhi on their side. And Kawhi has two championships. So the Warriors don't have an ace. What I'm really excited about is to see where basketball is going to go next, because I feel like the Oklahoma City Thunder, that team is the team to watch out for the next 10 years. I think that's the team that's going to kind of set the pace on how basketball is going to be played, and that's who Warriors need to become. And how they get there is going to be up to this front office. I don't think players taking less money is going to solve this problem. I think they have to dig deep and understand who it is that they're going to get who's going to be their ace. Dante Kuminga is not the answer. There's somebody out there that they need to find and say, hey, you take the reins.
Well, Bob, this is an interesting call, and there's a lot in there. The Oklahoma City thing, you do have to remember that what they started doing was stockpiling picks at an unbelievable rate for a long period of time
right.
of crap basketball. So you have to be willing to sign up for that if you want to do it that way. And even if you do it that way, there's no guarantee that you're going to strike gold in the way that it looks like the Thunder might have. Let's not crown them yet just because they've got a one seed in a regular season. Good team, good young players. I get it. The one thing I'll disagree with you on, Bob, is when you said that the Warriors don't have an ace. Like you said, the Lakers were lucky to have a talent like Kobe Bryant who was able to do it again with Pau Gasol. Ah, let me stop you right there.
Yeah.
He had Pau Gasol. I covered that team when Pau wasn't there. Stinky. Terrible. Awful. Shaq left. Kobe couldn't do it by himself. And I still think that Steph Curry is very much in that mold where I'm not, of course, he's not good enough to do it by himself, although largely no one is. I would love to see, a bigger issue is not that the Warriors no longer have a one, it's that they very, very clearly don't have a two. And so, to use your comp, if Pau Gasol came walking through that door in his prime, we would have action. Yeah. I believe.
Well, depends on just how good Steph Curry can be with another player alongside him. Because this year, he looked like he had gotten tired and looked like he was starting to have his skills diminish. And was that just a blip because he had to do too much this year? Or is that the player that Steph's going to be going forward now that he's turned 36? We do have to remember that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Steph as a one, as a true one on a winning team, those days might be over.
They might be, yeah.
And absolutely. We won't know until we get to the fall and see how he comes out of the Olympics.
But I think the gap of like Steph Curry to the one and all the other Warriors to the two, the other Warriors to the
agreed.
Two is a larger gap.
Much, much bigger yeah. gap.
Let's squeeze in one more. Arnell in Fremont. Hey, Arnell, what's up?
Hey, what's up, guys? The question that was sitting with me throughout this whole afternoon has been, what if tomorrow Steph Curry let Joe Lacob know, I think these are going to be my last 2 years. How does that change this whole conversation, knowing that there is an end? That's all. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Arnell.
All right, Arnell.
I don't know that it changes it at all.
Not this year.
Well, but yeah, right, because I think that the Warriors are probably looking at it that way, at least contractually, in terms of what their obligations are, right. In terms of what they're trying to do. I don't think they're thinking about Steph Curry in 3 years. They've got two more years, and anything after that is, I don't know, we'll see mode.
It might. Best. I don't know if it would change your immediate plans, but I think after this upcoming year, it would certainly change the way you were going to approach it if you knew that Steph was only going to be here for two more years.
Grandy, what are you doing in 5 minutes? What do you got? What are you doing?
Oh, we're going to hear from Warriors general manager Mike Dunleavy.
Mike Dunleavy.
If you missed the whole thing, well, not every second of it, but all the important stuff. If you missed it, you'll hear it.
Okay. The best of the game with Grandy. Here it comes, and he's going to start off with the important comments from Warriors general manager Mike Dunleavy in the exit press conference. That is all brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises. You want to do it again tomorrow?
Yeah, we'll give you one more this week.
Okay, we'll do one more. For Dibs, for Grandy, for Lucas, I'm Mark. Shoot your shot. That's all you got.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.